0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's the turn of Rangers in the Europa League as they host Genk in their opening league face match. That's after Celtic drew 1-1 away to Red Star Belgrade in Serbia last night, with Kelechi Iheanacho scoring their goal. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight are Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, another important night for Rangers after a good win at the weekend. Got some of the fans off Russell Martin's back, for just a short while, so he has to keep that up. It's been interesting to hear from the Celtic fans tonight as well. Andrew, I've got to call you Gordon there.
Obviously, it's all right, Stephen Mills did it about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, so I'm just used to sitting here on a Thursday night. You just wonder what the Celtic fans thought. I thought it was a real good second half. Mm-hmm. Was it a good point or was an opportunity to pick up three? But listen, Brendan Rodgers has come out and says it's a good start, positive start. I thought second half, good performance, created a few chances as well. Obviously gave up a sloppy goal from a set play that Celtic will not be happy with. But it's all down to Rangers tonight. All eyes will be fixed on Russell Martin. After all the protests, he has to turn last week against Hibs into a positive tonight at home.
Yeah, I really love when European football comes back around, because you know you can support all the Scottish teams. And I agree, I think Celtic started well yesterday. I thought it was a really, really good game, a competitive game, and I think they'll be extremely happy with the point away from home. And like you said, it's over to Rangers tonight. You know, we know Genk haven't started their league campaign at all well, but last season they finished high and they did well in the season. So it's kind of two teams domestically are both struggling. I know Rangers got the win against Hibs in the cup at the weekend, but it'll be a real interesting night. And I'm also interested in the attendance as well. That would be another big thing.
Yeah, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. It's going to be a busy night, because we're going to look ahead to Rangers against Genk in Rangers' first Europa League match of the season. And we're going to look back on Celtic's 1-1 draw with Red Star Belgrade last night. So Celtic fans, what did you make of it? Do you feel that that was a good start to the campaign? What did you make of Kelechi Iheanacho's performance after he came off the bench? What about Colby Donovan, the youngster? How do you think he fared over in Belgrade? 0141 951 1025. How does that set you up for the rest of the league phase? And Rangers fans, maybe you are on your way to the game, maybe you're deciding not to go to the game, maybe you're excited, maybe you are a bit worried about the game. 0141 951 1025. Remember, we will get the team news in a bit, but for now you can let us know who should start, who should Russell Martin play in this game against Genk tonight. Are you confident, are you not? 0141 951 1025. We will go to Ibrox shortly and get a bit of preview from Tom Grant, but just to reflect very quickly first before we get into it later, that Celtic game last night, is that a good point to start the campaign?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. You know, we spoke about the hostile atmosphere that they'll be going into. Again, playing against a really, really good team. I think they've won all of their games domestically as well, so a team full of confidence. And it's never going to be easy. You know, anyone who draws Celtic, they'll be looking at what they did last season in the Champions League, you know, taking Bayern Munich all the way. So everyone's going to be highly motivated to play against them. So yeah, listen, I thought it was a good start for them. I think the performance was really, really good. Like you said, Donovan at right back as well, seeing the young man, I think it's his third or fourth game in a row, looked really assured, played extremely well, and he's making the most of his opportunity with, you know, Alice Johnson and Ralston being injured. So I think all round, listen, Celtic, can they do better? 100%, but you have to take the points when you can away from home, and then I think, you know, winning your home games will take you through.
I'd accept it, yeah. And as I said earlier, I really enjoyed the second half. I thought both teams had a go. They both created a few chances. I thought that the back four of Celtic were excellent. I thought Donovan, worthy of his place, I've got to say. He looks a part, the young lad. It just shows you, give young players an opportunity and they can come on and produce the goods. I thought two centre-halves for Celtic were excellent, especially Scales. Substitution at half-time, you've got to give Brendan Rodgers a lot of credit. Changed it, they had to go up the park a little bit. My concern for Celtic just now is two of their top players just now. I think Maeda's out of sorts. Maybe all the transfer situation has really got to him just now, or he's just went off form and that's what happens. But he's still a terrific player. And Hatate in the middle of the park for me, I think, struggling a little bit as well. But look, they're quality players that can certainly come back. But 1-1 away from home, Marv summed it up. Difficult game. good start for Celtic.
Celtic fans, we want to hear what you thought of that game. 01419511025. And Rangers fans, how are you feeling ahead of tonight's match against Genk? Let's go to Ibrox and speak to Tom Grant, who can give us a preview.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with the Clubhouse Princes Square, tap room and home of live sport in Glasgow.
How are things shaping up, Tom?
Yeah, thanks.
That was short and sweet, wasn't it?
We'll try and get Tom
back.
They're shaping up well.
Yep. Two words we managed to get from Tom there. I will see if we can get him back. It will be interesting, as you mentioned there, Marvin, to see what the attendance is going to be like tonight, because there's been talk, Celtic and Rangers, both about potential boycotts or staying away from the Europa League matches for different reasons. But we've seen what the crowd can do at Ibrox and at Celtic Park for, you know, our Scottish teams in these big nights.
Yeah, 100%. You know, speaking of Ibrox tonight and, you know, how electric the atmosphere has been on those European nights, and the place has been rocking at certain times. So I'm sure as it gets closer to kickoff, or the game began to get closer in terms of the day, I think more and more people would have been buying their tickets. I really hope that the fans do turn out. You know, I know they're unhappy with Russell Martin, but they're ultimately there to support your team and the players on the pitch. So yeah, you want to make it as hostile as possible for Genk coming over. You don't want, you know, 30 or 40,000 people there, and you know it's an okay game for both teams, or it's a very level game for both teams in terms of the atmosphere. So listen, I hope it is a full Ibrox, because it will make for a really, really good night.
Right, I think we can go to Ibrox and get a slightly longer preview from Tom this time.
Yes, Andrew, can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sorry about the tech difficulties there. Yeah, as I was saying there, it's a bit of a funny one, this one tonight, isn't it? Because as I was making my way here and thinking about the game and the narrative around this fixture, you would usually consider a home tie as the way you'd want to start any season in Europe. But with this being Russell Martin's Rangers team's fourth in a row here at Ibrox, and with a vast differing in opinion in terms of the club's future between fans and manager, I wonder if just getting away from here to get going would have been more beneficial to all. But as it is, the UEFA supercomputer has Rangers starting their Europa League campaign here in Govan against Genk, who, it has to be said, have been taking some flack for their own troubled start this season back home in Belgium. The visitors finished above Rangers Champions League conquerors Club Bruges in the 30-game regular season. That's the campaign before their playoffs. So it shows you they do have something about them in terms of quality. But they've struggled this term, currently sitting 14th in the 16-team Belgian Pro League with 8 points from their opening 8 games. Famous faces from the past who've donned the Genk colours include Kevin De Bruyne and Tibor Courtois, as well as former Rangers man Yanis Hadji, who actually signed to the Gers from Genk. But the ones to watch out for tonight are the likes of Kostantinos Karatsas, a name who might send a chill down the spine of Scotland fans after he scored and put in a man of the match performance against the national team in March for his country, Greece. He returns after 2 games out with a back injury, and at just 17 years old, he looks like a special talent. Former Celtic man O may also be familiar to Rangers fans. But out for the Belgians are new signings this summer, Dan Haynes and Yira Saur, who didn't board the flight to Glasgow due to injury. Manager Thorsten Fink, maybe not in as much dire straits as his opposite man in the dugout, Russell Martin. His team's strong showing last season, perhaps giving him a bit of breathing space, something Martin can't really call on, can he? But Fink will know a win here tonight would quieten the murmurs coming from some quarters of the Genk support about his position. Talking about pressure, and Saturday evening's 2-0 win over Hibs in the Premier Sports Cup doesn't seem to have relieved any on Russell Martin, who said yesterday he's actually enjoying the scrutiny that's come his way. He did call it a perverse joy, but he added that he's ready to embrace the Europa League campaign and, you know, a first joint intercontinental competition for him as manager. He confirmed the return of Joe Rothwell tonight after he missed Saturday's triumph, but Lyle Cameron is still out, as are long-term absentees Dijon Sterling and Rabbi Matondo. Martin seems a long way from getting himself on the Christmas card list of the majority of Rangers fans. I even heard a caller last night suggesting appointing James Tavernier as manager to replace him. Wouldn't that be something? But if the manager is to turn his fortunes around, a good win tonight could help take that next step on the road to redemption. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. and I'll get you the teams as soon as I have them.
Yeah, in the meantime, Rangers fans, let us know who should start that game at Ibrox tonight. 01419511025. Andy is a Rangers fan in Newcastle. Andy, how are you feeling ahead of this one? Are you excited to get a new campaign underway, or not so much, just given how this season's gone?
My excitement died after the Pilsen game, to be honest, and it's never came back. And Gordon, and good evening to Gordon, Marvin, yourself, Andrew as well. Gordon made the point that, you know, some fans are off the back of Russell Martin after the weekend. That's not true at all. I don't know any fans off the back of Russell Martin. All it's done is solidify an apathy amongst a section of the support that were already struggling to go. Now, I'm going to the game. I know a lot of Hawks who aren't. And for me, this is just going to keep getting worse. Martin is out his depth. It's not going to get better. Even a win tonight and a win against Livy is not going to change this. He's a man out his depth. He's been given an opportunity by folks who have... They've undersold the SPFL and what it needs and the unique requirements of being a manager, Rangers or Celtic. And it's all they've done is buy time, and it's going to end sooner rather than later. It's just how far are we behind Celtic at that point. The league's not insurmountable at this point, but Europe's a sideshow and a distraction to what's been a nightmare so far.
Andy, you said there, you know, if Rangers win tonight, if they win on Sunday, things won't change at all, your mind won't change at all. It is hypothetical, but surely the mood would need to change at some point if Russell Martin did start winning games and it started to get better, no?
Not necessarily. I mean, if he goes on a run of 10 or 15 winning games, then perhaps. But is there any evidence to suggest that? The win against Hibs is an outlier. Even then, if Hibs' goal had stood, which it shouldn't have, Boyle handballs it, but I didn't think so when I saw it in the stadium at the time. If that stands, the atmosphere changes and those players don't have the confidence to go on and win that game and pull it back, because we've got the evidence to show that. The players collapse. I tell you what, see if we had Alloa this weekend in the Cup, I don't know if we'd beat Alloa. We beat them 4-2 last time we played them, but that Alloa 4-2, this team don't have the confidence. Hibs disappointed, to be honest, in a way, because we expected more from them. Hearts weren't brilliant, but rolled us over with a couple of, you know, debatable goals. But we've not deserved anything more than we've got this season. So, short of a huge winning run, this isn't going to change. And I'm sorry, any media person worth their salt watching a Russell Martin press conference can see that's a guy who knows he's out his depth. And the level of arrogance he's got as well. And I was one of the last ones to come with Russell Martin, but the level of arrogance the guy has is off the charts. He swaggers in there like he's had the career of a Pep Guardiola. Or let's use a rookie manager like Steven Gerrard, who actually had won things and accomplished things in his career. What is Russell Martin saying to their players when they're 1-2-0 down at half-time in any game, to say, I remember when we were mid-table with Norwich and we won a game 2-1 against Swansea? No, there's no credit in the bank with Russell Martin, and there's not going to be. The guy's win percentage as a manager is poor. He's achieved nothing as a manager, and he's ended up in a massive job. It makes no sense.
Andy's saying Russell Martin's out of his depth. Is tonight a really good test of that, though? Because there was all the protests last week. Rangers ended up coming away with a win against Hibs, but it is a big European night. It's the start of a new campaign. Will this be a big test for Russell Martin to see whether he can handle this type of occasion as a Rangers head coach?
It's a long road ahead for Russell Martin. Andy will not be alone in his thoughts there, thinking, right, to turn people like Andy round in his favour, he has got to go in a long winning sequence, Andrew. That may be even into try to win the first silverware of the season. That may just sway the Rangers fans. But he started at the weekend against Hibs. I didn't think he'd survive if he lost to Hibs. He's got tonight, and then he's got an easy game on Sunday against Livingston. So I'm expecting a good few days for him. But it's going to be the only thing I will agree with Andy slightly, right? All managers can turn it around, and you turn it around by winning games, right? You do. Eventually, people will come up. We had it with Brendan Rodgers when he came back, didn't we? Celtic fans were on their droves, didn't want him back, hated him, didn't think right appointment. All of a sudden, 6 months down the line, whatever, Brendan Rodgers started winning things. Celtic fans were on saying, look, maybe called it wrong. That's what happens. I'm not saying, like Andy, there's not a lot of evidence to say that's the way it's going to go forward for him. But where I will agree with Andy, I don't think he handles his press conferences well. I think he's got to... Rangers fans are out there. They're paying a lot of money. They're travelling all over the place to support their team. They have done for years. I think sometimes you've got to be a little bit humble. And Andy's using words like arrogant and stuff like that. I don't know if Russell Martin is an arrogant person, but when you're watching his pressers, you sometimes can take things the wrong way. And I think that's what's happened to Rangers fans.
Clearly, from what Andy is saying, a win tonight for Rangers is not going to change Andy's mood. It's not going to change the mood of a lot of Rangers fans. Amongst some of the support, though, if Rangers can go out and win tonight after beating Hibs at the weekend, it might not mean that Rangers fans are happy, but does it maybe give Russell Martin a bit of breathing space, being able to get two wins in a row? Does it just help slightly in that regard?
Yeah, it has to help. Of course it does. You know, he's got himself and the team have got themselves into this position by not winning enough games. So ultimately, if you start to win games, like I said, slowly but surely, people will begin to turn. I'm not talking about Andy, but, you know, maybe a small minority will start to turn if they win today's game, then they go into Sunday's game. And if they can go on a run domestically and, you know, pick up points in Europe as well, then fans will turn. You know, football's a very, very fickle game. You can say whether you believe it or not, you know, whether you're going to admit to it or not. If he wins games of football, people will begin to turn. You know, and that's ultimately it. Andy, as a Rangers fan, wants to go and see his team win games of football. So if Russell Martin's a manager and it begins to turn from now because he's been given the time to do so, then Andy will be on side. You know, he's not going to call up in 2.5 months' time and, you know, Rangers have only drawn one game during that period and won the rest of them. You know, he'll be saying, you know what, maybe we did get it wrong. Maybe we were right to give him this time because now look at us, we're absolutely flying. We saw it with David Gray at Hibs. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave him time in the turnaround that he went on and finished in third place. So, yeah, listen, stranger things have happened in football. Russell Martin clearly believes in what him and his coaching staff are doing. And like I said, they've got to take it one game at a time now. But if he wins games, he'll start to win the fans back over.
Well, thank you to Andy. What about David in Barrhead? David, have you got a starting lineup in mind? Who needs to start this game tonight?
I think the same team who beat Ibs should start. I think Raskin and Diamande are certain starters. I think Majoski should start up front. I don't think he should bring back Rothwell. I think he's a player that I've not been impressed with. And I think that the team are actually showing a wee bit of they're starting to improve a wee bit. I think the back four looked a wee bit more okay. We've caught it a couple of times, but again, they're still growing. They're still playing. Cornelius only his first competitive full game and he looked better than what we had before, and I think with the team that they send out, we could get a result.
I mean, just in terms of pure optics, and not that managers need to pick teams on that, Nico Raskin has to start tonight, doesn't he? And under any circumstances, Russell Martin can't really put Joe Rothwell in instead of him, just based on the whole narrative around everything, can he?
No, if he put Rothwell back in and left Raskin out, he'd be better just walking out the door and going home before the game started. It ain't going to happen. Raskin was absolutely brilliant against Hibs, scored opening goal. For me, basically saved his job. But it's still a big night for Raskin as well. He's got to keep doing that. He's got to keep showing that he is the man to be in that position. You don't just turn up and think, right, okay, I played well against Hibs. If you play with Rangers, got to do it every single game, because the fans soon demand that of you. You see what happens to the players. No, I don't see Rothwell starting the game tonight. I don't think he's had a great start to his Rangers career. Now, there's rumours going about that maybe he's not been played in his best position, which doesn't help. But I think I'm agreeing there that I think he'll probably go along the same lines as the weekend against Ibs.
Do you think Rangers can get the job done tonight, David? Get a result in some shape or form?
I'm a wee bit hopeful, yeah, that we can get a result against them. I think we can do it. And listening to your comments about Russell Martin, I think part of his problem is press conference, and he might not be able to help it. But see, when he's talking, he's got this smug look on his face, which maybe he can't help. But it just aggravates folk when he's got this big smug look, when Rangers are in total turmoil and he's just looking smug in him, it just aggravates folk. And he maybe can't help that facial expression he's got, but it doesn't help the Rangers fans.
Well, thank you to David. Rangers fans, we still want to hear from you. The team news will come out in maybe around half an hour's time, I think it'll be, so you can be the manager up until then. 01419511025. Celtic fans, we are going to hear from Brendan Rodgers what he thought of last night's game next, so give us a call. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
About an hour and a half away from kickoff at Ibrox between Rangers and Genk in the Europa League, so we'll continue to preview that. We'll get the team news in the next 15 minutes or so, but for now let's take a look back at Red Star Belgrade 1 Celtic 1 last night. And Celtic fans, any thoughts on that game? 01419511025. Let's speak to Brendan, who is a Celtic fan in Greenfield. Brendan, were you happy with that performance result last night?
The second half was better than the first half, obviously. But I thought, you know, we're playing against a team that, and I think the stat is that they've scored in 70 consecutive home games. So the chances are, well, we're always going to concede. So our away record, to concede the goal, but you know, but still get the point. You know, I think it was very important. You know, so I liked the team. You know, I liked the way the team was, and I'm not letting it blow off the hook here by any stretch of imagination. But when you look at the team last night, you look at the bench, and then you're still going to bring Jota in and Alistair Johnson. You know, we're maybe not as bad a shape as what people are, you know, telling us we are. I know that we're a wee bit light in areas, but you know, as I say, I'm quite confident that the team's starting to fire. You know, as I say, they had a great performance against Thistle. You know, they had a great second half last night. So no, I'm quite confident going forward.
Pleased with the contribution of Kelechi Iheanacho.
I listened to a podcast and David Friel was talking about him, and as he said, you know, it's like Rodgers knows that guy inside out. You know, so Rodgers gets him firing, then he's going to be, we've got a player in our hands there. You know, as I say, it's maybe came about in a roundabout way, but we did try to sign him 6 months ago. Or 9 months ago, sorry. We did try to sign him in January, and it just never happened for whatever reason. But, you know, I think you get that boy firing. He's 28, he's got plenty of premiership experience, you know. So, as I say, I thought he'd done his part. His link-up play, he's dropping off, all laying it out, you know, was fantastic. You know, the same as it was on Sunday.
I thought he made the difference last night, second half. I thought it was a good move by Brendan Rodgers. They weren't getting up the park. Maeda couldn't hold the ball up. He was all over the place. So he decided, look, after 45 minutes, we'll make that change. I think he could have scored more than one. I thought his goal was brilliant. His first touch just sets him up perfectly. That's a bit of quality about him. I thought the one that the goalkeeper came out and closed him down, I thought he took an extra touch. If he doesn't take that extra touch, that may just be down to lack of game time. A little bit more sharpness in there. I think he would have taken a touch and just dinked it over the goalkeeper, but he made such a difference. He got Celtic out of the park. They created chances. Players in the middle of the park were confident to make the runs off him because he can hold the ball in. He's an intelligent player as well. Look, I think he had a lot of doubters when he got signed in the Tuesday as a free agent, but he's certainly starting to turn those doubters round, and they're talking about once he gets a little bit more fitness in him, then you're going to see big things for him. But he certainly got off to his Celtic career very well indeed, and I thought his goal last night was excellent.
Do you think he offers something different for Celtic that they've maybe not had in the past few months? Dyson Maeda is obviously, you know, an unbelievable runner. Adam Ida was maybe criticised for his lack of link-up play. Kelechi Iheanacho seems to be that focal point that is able to occupy defenders but also bring, you know, other players in. That's going to be a real positive for Celtic if he can continue that.
Yeah, massive positive. You know, as Gordon's saying there, he's played at the highest level. He played in the Premier League. He came through at Manchester City. He scored goals at Leicester in the Premiership as well. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I don't think anyone was ever doubting his ability. It's just, you know, keeping him fit. He's had a real bad time of injuries over the course of his career. So, you know, Brendan Rodgers does know him extremely well. Obviously, you know, I think he started him on the bench yesterday. He didn't want to give him too many minutes too quickly. But just to answer your question, 100%, in terms of bringing other players into play, we saw it at Partick Thistle. We saw it again yesterday with him coming on for 45 minutes. His movement to get into those positions as well is really, really good because he stretches you first, then he comes short, and then people will run off him. And Gordon will tell you, there's nothing more confident from a midfield player. If you're playing into a striker and you know it's going to stick, your mate runs off him, and he's also got the intelligence. Sometimes it's two or three touches, and sometimes it's one touch. So, yeah, he's definitely, I think, what Celtic were missing in terms of his style. It's just about keeping him fit, and, you know, the more games he plays, the fitter he will get, and hopefully for his sake he can avoid injury.
You mentioned those options that Celtic now have, Brendan. How does that front three work for you going forward with, you know, Dyson Maeda obviously came off for Kelechi Iheanacho last night. Sebastian Tenekte's had a brilliant start to life at Celtic in his first three games. How do you see that all fitting together going forward?
It's a bit of a conundrum, but I think that I don't agree with anybody that's saying, oh, we need to move Tenekte to accommodate Maeda. Because, you know, why the guy's been fantastic. He's a wee bit quieter last night, but, you know, he's been fantastic in his first two games. I cannot wait to see him on Saturday in the big pitch, you know, at Celtic Park. So I don't think we should be moving him, as I say, because then I think you'll just be taking away from his game, you know. So I think it's just going to be a case of it's got to be the whoever's deserving the reserves. I think Iheanacho is going to end up being the constant number nine. You know, once he gets his full sharpness. So I'm quite looking forward to that. other thing as well is it's good to see Kieran Tierney getting a good game last night. I know he only got the 80 minutes, but you know he's creeping near the sort of being sort of fully ready. He's some great tackles in last night. You know, I thought the young boy Donovan was a standout as well on the other side, and that's very positive sort of going forward. You know, because you know who knows, as Alistair Johnson is going to be the next big sort of door at some point. You know, in the next 18 months. Goes to the World Cup next year and it's a fantastic tournament like he did the last time, you know, and then that might be him stepping on. So we don't know, but it's good to see that there's a progression plan in place there, you know. So
yeah, he's been highly rated by Celtic for a good while. Colby Donovan has obviously had to wait for his chance. He's only just turned 19, to be fair, but having Alistair Johnson, Anthony Ralston ahead of him doesn't look out of place at all, does he?
Excellent.
In that Celtic starting lineup.
He was excellent. He really was. I thought he deserved his place. Brendan Rodgers spoke very highly of him, kept the faith with him, and he rewarded them back with a terrific performance. I thought the two centre-halves were brilliant as well. Yes, I thought Tierney looked a lot better than he has been in previous weeks. That's him getting up to that match fitness. You're right about 80 minutes. I think that was enough for him. There was a wee sort of injury scare at one point, but it was great to see him getting up and getting on with it. But get back to Maeda, we're now looking at a guy who was absolutely magnificent for Celtic last year. Magnificent, won all the awards, everything, deservedly so. He looks now that if he was playing a very important game, next game, where would you fit him in the team? See, I've always said this, I don't know how, and I'd love somebody to explain it to me, why Maeda can't play off the right-hand side. He's a right-footed player. He's got bags of pace. He likes to go down the wide areas. He doesn't come in a lot like Jota comes in and bounces things off a centre forwards. He's not that type of player. He likes to open space in behind. So I've never understood why he can't play in the right hand side.
I think it's just the way he likes to make his runs, isn't it? Off the left. I think he wants the ball in front of him to then be coming in on goal kind of thing. But I agree with you. I think he could definitely do a job on the right hand side. Just means he's going to have to hold more width and probably get more of the ball to his feet rather than in front of him.
See, the thing I'm saying that is right now you would look at him and think, right, if they'd a right winger that, say for instance Jota was playing right wing, just say for instance that, Maeda right now doesn't deserve his place in the team because he's not playing to the standard that we know. That doesn't mean to say that he won't come back from that. Of course he will, because he's a very talented individual. But in the right hand side just now, you look at Yang, another opportunity last night, never grasps it, does he? You know, James Forrest comes on as well. Now, James Forrest has been a brilliant servant and still can do a turn for Celtic, but as an impact player coming off the bench. So that right-hand side now for Celtic is probably the weakest part of their team. So you would wonder why Maeda doesn't get an opportunity to go and say, right, I can claim that and make it a very strong front three.
Well, thank you to Brendan. What about Mark and Paisley? Mark, what did you take away from last night's game?
Personally, I think it was a great result considering we were a couple of players that have maybe kicked it off since the start of the season, i.e. Atati and Maeda. And what I would do personally is no drop them completely, but I'd put them on the subs bench against Tibbs on Sunday and try and get that eagerness back in them. Another thing, Donovan, the boy looks world class. I know it's early days yet, but he was absolutely outstanding last night. Peter Schmeichel gives me the fear. He makes easy things.
Casper Schmeichel.
If it was Peter, it would give everybody the fear.
I'm just thinking, but he makes hard things look easy and easy things look hard. Some of the cross balls that were coming in at the weekend and last night, he gave me the complete fear.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. What about the save he had in the first half?
Well, personally, I didn't know he'd actually touched that until I seen it on repeat. I thought, wow, what a save.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought it hit the crossbar and bounced back in again.
I did think he was a wee bit edgy in the second half. He came for one, he got caught in no man's land. I thought at the goal from the set play, from the corner kick, I don't know why he's rushing away out to the attacker that's got the ball, that's going to square it for an easy tap-in. I think Scales gets dragged towards the ball as well. But there was a couple of decisions in the second half. Schmeichel, you know, I thought he looked hesitant, but you can't take anything away from him. That was a top save.
World class save.
You're brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
We talked about Dyson Maeda. Mark also brought up Rio Hitati. Feels he maybe needs a spell out the team. Celtic do have the midfield options there to mix things up. Is he a player that's underperforming for you?
Listen, the heights that he's actually hit, is he playing at his best? No, no, he's definitely not. But sometimes players deserve the right to play their way back into form. You know, over the course of his Celtic career, he's been absolutely brilliant. Is he playing his best now? No, but I can see why Brendan Rodgers leads him in the team, because he's a very, very good footballer. And sometimes it just takes a spark to get them going again. So, you know, you leave him out there for as long as you possibly can, because I think if he's at his best, Celtic are at their best. And it's one of those things, we're always super critical of players when, you know, they come off of it a little bit, oh, they should be on the bench or they shouldn't be starting in the team. But like I said, you know, if he's playing at his best, he's one of Celtic's best midfielders.
Thank you to Mark. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He's praising the character of his team, and he says a point in Belgrade is a good platform to build on.
We've come away to a difficult venue, and the players really stood up to that. We were good in aspects of the game tonight, especially our resilience and mentality, and as the competition improves, then we will improve as well. Our players came here and showed the resilience, showed a real positive energy in the game, embraced the challenge. In my opinion, we could have won the game, but what is important is that you don't lose the game, and we had a strong mentality to see that through at the end. We stood up to that, and that's always a good sign for your spirit, for your togetherness. We could maybe have won that game, but it's a point for us, nice step, and now we want to maximise our opportunities also at home now. And
Rangers fans, we are going to find out the Rangers team to play Genk very shortly, so any thoughts ahead of that, or maybe you want to be the first to react to it, 01419511025. Celtic fans will continue to reflect on that game last night. What did you think of Kelechi Iheanacho? What about Colby Donovan's performance? 01419511025. While you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this. Clyde One. And you need to listen up as well, because time is running out for your chance to have £555,000 transferred into your bank account tomorrow. It's radio's biggest competition, with well over £500,000 to be won every single Friday. This week's Make Me A Winner prize is a massive £555,000. To get our 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Text are £250 plus your standard and network rate, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are also charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. And remember, lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow. All you need to do, if you get the call, just answer your phone. Easy as that. £555,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we are moments away from finding out the Rangers team to take on Genk in the Europa League tonight. So any thoughts on that, if you want to react to it, 01419511025. The two of them are laughing because Gordon DL is trying to book a tea time on his phone underneath the table, while I'm trying to be professional.
Did you get it? He's filming me.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
01419511025. We will get that team very shortly. Andy is a Rangers fan in Manchester. Andy, who needs to play tonight for Rangers?
I mean, he's got to start Raskin. He can't not start him. I've seen a bit on social media about people saying it'd be a perfect game to rest Majovski and bring in Shamiti for a start. With his goal-scoring record, I'm not sure, but I suppose he's got to have a go at some point, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, because Bojan Majovski, you'd expect him to start tonight, but also, if you're bringing in a striker who costs £8 million, potentially rising to £10 million, these are the types of nights that you'd probably hope that they'd be able to handle and deal with and make an impact in.
Yeah, and whether that impacts starting a game or coming off the bench, I think with Majovski, it's how many minutes he played before coming into Rangers, and then he's been a kind of ever-present ever since. So it might be a situation where Russell Martin thinks, you know, he's at high risk of maybe getting an injury, and then do we freshen up, do we make changes? But I think if he's ready to go again, you start him. And then if you have to change it after 60 minutes, then that's what you do. The most important thing for Rangers today is to give them the best opportunity of winning this game of football. You know, it's not about, you know, rotating people and resting people and everything else. If they don't need resting, just go ahead and play them. We saw this with Philip Clement, didn't we? When he was manager and constantly going to about the sports scientist, and this player can't start and that player can't start. Russell Martin needs to win games. Rangers need to get off to a good start at home in a European competition to, allow them to go through to the next round. So, yeah, I'll be starting my strongest team, whatever he sees as his strongest team, as long as the players are available to play.
Yeah, and he gets his goal at the weekend, mm-hmm. gives him so much confidence. I'd be very surprised if Majorski doesn't start. I looked at that team, I probably would be thinking along the same lines. The only tweak I think he might make, I think he might leave out Moore and go with Antman.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I don't think Moore's sort of hit the heights just now. He's a young player. I think it takes time for him. Yeah, he's certainly got good ability. But Antman, when he came in at first, he was absolutely brilliant, electric. He's been left out the team recently, coming on, used as a sub. I think it could be a big night for him. I'd be surprised. Look, he might go with the same starting 11 and say, look, you got me the 2-0 victory. I'm happy with that. It's kept me in a job so far. On you go again. I'm going to be loyal to you guys. But he just might look at a tweak or two.
Well, we do have that breaking team news from Ibrox. Tom Grant has it for us.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, Rangers have lost only twice in the last 19 Europa League matches, and Russell Martin will hope that is extended to 2 defeats in 20. But the big news here from Ibrox, only one change from Saturday's win over Hibs, and it appears it's been forced on the manager because Yusuf Chermiti has had to come in for Bojan Miovski. It's reported here in the stadium that Miovski has picked up a knock. I don't think that's obviously in the warm-up because the players haven't been out yet. But yeah, a big change there because I know a lot of Rangers fans have wanted Miovski to play from the start tonight. So that means that it's Jack Butland in goals, James Tavernier, John Souter, Derek Cornelius and Magoma at the back four. You've got Nico Raskin that starts again, Mohamed Diamande, Thilo Asgard, Mikey Muir and Gassam on the wings of the front three. And as I say, it's Yusuf Chermiti in attack for Miovski.
Yes, Yusuf Chermiti starts. That is a big one. Looks as if it is, you know, forced because Bojan Miovski not in the squad whatsoever. A big night for Yusuf Chermiti.
Yeah, when you come with that price tag, you got to start producing. And I think Marv's right. These are the nights you've got to start doing it. 8 million rising to 10, possibly. So it's a big, big night for him. It looked like we were talking about would he change it. I didn't think he'd change a lot. I was looking at maybe one tweak, but it's been forced on him. So if Miovski had been fit, he certainly would have went with the starting 11. But that gives Chermiti a great opportunity to stake a claim tonight.
Yeah, and he'd be delighted to play. You know, like I said, a European night at Ibrox, I'm sure it's something that he's been spoken to him about and he's probably watched and seen. So, like I said, it's a massive, massive night for him. An £8 million signing. He wants to show the Rangers fans exactly what he can do because, as football is, you know, a couple of people have written him off already because his goal scoring record hadn't been great. But he's a young man, you know, making his way into the game. And like I said, one way of making yourself a hero, as you see Gordon Duncan on the screen there, is going and scoring in nights like tonight. So best of luck to him.
What do you make of that team, Andy?
Is more. I would agree with you. I'd put Ant-Man in instead. But I'm kind of happy. I'm not sure I believe that Miovski's actually got an injury. I don't think he's dropped him, but I think he's using it as an excuse to keep him fresh for the weekend.
Oh, he is actually. But, sorry, he is on the subs bench. He is on the subs bench, Miovski. Yeah, yeah. So Tom didn't read out the substitutes, but Bojan Miovski is there. So whether he does have a knock or not, or whether he's just decided to go for Yusuf Chermiti, you'd think if he had a knock, he maybe wouldn't be on the bench.
I'm surprised at that tonight, I've got to say. I think after the weekend, getting his goal breeds confidence. Your first goal for a new club, getting back out there, I think he would have wanted to play. But I think Marv's right. When you've invested £8 million quid into a player, there's an opportunity for a big game. This is a big game tonight, so he must believe that he's good enough to go out and do that.
He had a big chance, didn't he, at the weekend against Hibs. He was set through one-on-one, ended up trying to go low to the keeper's right. It was saved at the time. If an opportunity comes like that tonight, will there be an expectancy, do you think, from Rangers supporters that he should put those away?
Yeah, there'll be an expectancy from himself as well, first and foremost. You know, strikers don't score every single chance. You know, the one positive is he got himself into that position to allow himself to have the shot, and the keeper's come up trumps in terms of making the save. So, yeah, listen, you're not going to score every single opportunity. I don't think the young man will be putting massive pressure on himself. He'll go, there's a reason that Rangers signed him for that amount of money. There's a reason Everton signed him for the amount of money that they did. And he needs to go out there and just play his normal game. So, yeah, listen, he's been given the opportunity today. I said with Miovski, it's one of those things. He hadn't played a lot of minutes coming into Rangers. So you're going to have to look after him. You know, you don't want players to get injured and be fatigued and get muscle injuries and be out for 4 or 5 weeks. So maybe that's the reason he's freshened it up, or he's felt something in training.
The only thing I will say, Marv, I think the Rangers fans will give Chirmiti a bit of time, right? But he's come with a big price tag, and if you come up there and you're a centre forward Rangers, you have got to deliver by scoring goals. It's as simple and straightforward as that, because that's what you've got to be judged on, right? He's already been judged on that just now, and he's not had the biggest career so far because he's young, he's making his way in the game. You come for that price tag, you come as a centre forward at Rangers, you've got to score goals, and that's what the Rangers fans will be expecting.
Andy, how are you feeling generally, just confidence levels heading into this game and Russell Martin's situation?
I mean, he's been under a lot of pressure. The results haven't been good enough. The Rangers fans expect a lot more. We've got to beat, or we've got to finish above Celtic. And at the minute, we're going to be lucky to finish above the relegation spaces. So he's got some work to do. But a win tonight, a win at the weekend, obviously beating Hibs, it goes a long way to steadying the ship, I suppose.
I think under normal circumstances, at maybe other clubs, you would say if Rangers can get a result tonight, then that would really help potentially kick on domestic form. But we've not really seen that to be the case with Rangers, have we? In the past, quite often it's been two separate forms that they've taken into European games and domestic games.
Yeah, exactly. But they have to use it as a kickstart. You know, like you said, they need to go on a run of winning games, as Andy's saying there. It started with the Hibs game. Now can they get a win today? Then they go on to, obviously, you know, the game at the weekend. And that's the way that Russell Martin will be looking at it. One game at a time. Can we keep, you know, ticking them off? One thing that was labelled at Rangers last season is definitely when they played on a Sunday after Thursday, it did look lethargic, but the squad looks a lot deeper now. You know, there's a lot more options for him to freshen up, but he can't afford to be worrying about Sunday today. You know, he has to worry about this game that's in front of him. Then Sunday comes, then you deal with that. Then you just keep ticking the games off, keep trying to get wins, keep trying to get confidence and get the fans on side.
Well, thank you to Andy. 0141 951 1025, if you want to continue the build-up to that big game tonight. Maybe you want to look back on Celtic's big game last night against Red Star Belgrade, or maybe you want to phone in and play this big game.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, your chance to take on either Gord Diehl or Marvin Bartley at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is phone before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025.
7 days a week.
More about a team.
And it's still not enough.
More about a manager.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Sack him, sack him, sack him.
Sundays 4 till 7. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
1 hour to go until kickoff at Ibrox Rangers against Genk in the Europa League. We want to hear your thoughts ahead of that. The big team news is Youssef Chirmiti starts up front for Rangers. The big money signing. His first appearance from the start. 0141 951 1025. Let us know what you think of that. Celtic fans, we're still looking back on last night's 1-1 draw with Red Star Belgrade. What did you enjoy about that game? Does it seem like a good result going into the next 7 games of the Europa League phase? 0141 951 1025. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You still get your 100% record.
Yeah,
flying Marvin high.
Played 7-1-7 this season.
You must be top of the league.
Oh, yeah.
You second.
Mate, I went on a bad run.
You turned it around, though.
I bounced back on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I heard that.
Could be worse. You could be Simon Donnelly, who I've just spotted has played 5 and lost 5 after his defeat last night.
By the way, and he get well beat.
He's 6-3, I think it was.
I think we should be really considering inviting him back on.
Yeah.
He's letting everybody
start
down.
Start a petition.
Yeah. Well,
cost
him
the show too much money.
Let him on, but don't let him play.
Maybe the pundit.
If he gets to like 0 wins out of 10, maybe that's just like a rule that he has to just not come on again.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
Marvin gets 10-0, then he gets to decide a pundit that doesn't get to come back as well.
Simon.
Yeah. I think instead of -1, we should give Simon +1.
Yeah. Imagine the indignity of
that. Oh, man, he still lose. Jeez, what a guy.
It's going to be Michael in Kirkintilloch who is playing tonight. Michael, have you played before?
Yeah, I have played maybe about a year ago. I beat Gordon Diehl.
Nah, Michael, I don't remember you.
I'm not that good, but so.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that. That's a wee compliment for me right there, Michael. Thank you very much. Are you sure it was me and it was not Simon?
I'm sure it was you.
Can you beat him again, Michael?
Aye, but I think I'd rather play Marvin.
Wow.
Wow.
He just wants a clean sweep of the panel.
That's fair.
That's good.
That's fair.
He wants to take
your, lose at some time,
take
aren't
your winning
Is
record.
Is somebody helping you, Michael?
No, I'm on Google. My phone.
Okay, right. We believe that.
Got your laptop?
What's that?
Have you got your laptop?
No.
You actually got to think of how quickly people would need to type to get stuff like that. Right. It will be the blue side of the coin for Marvin Bartley. It will be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the red side for Gordon DL.
It
is
the rematch
between Michael and Gordon.
Michael's going to get a coin.
Oh, yeah, you got a ball last time. Could be a coin this time, Michael.
I got a ball last time, man.
Keeps coming on. He'll just have a full room full of like super scoreboard memorabilia.
Right, let's
like
go here.
Super fan. Right, we will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Gordon DL so he cannot hear us. It's 30 seconds on the clock, Michael, as you know, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well to help yourself out. Is that all good?
Aye, that's all good.
Let's do it. Right. Who did Rangers play in their last European final?
Frankfurt.
Which former Celtic player is in the Genk squad tonight?
Oh.
Who does St Mirren face in their League Cup semi-final?
Motherwell.
Which Hearts player wears the number 9?
Shankland.
Who did Aston Villa play in the Europa League tonight?
Bologna.
True or false, a Celtic UEFA Cup match was once delayed because of EastEnders?
False.
What league are Cowdenbeath in?
League 2.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in.
Yeah.
And it is 30 seconds on the clock for you. Let's go. Who did Rangers play in their last European final?
A final? Pass, can't remember.
Which former Celtic player is in the Genk squad tonight?
Oh.
Who do St Mirren face in their League Cup semi-final?
Motherwell.
Which Hearts player wears the number 9?
Shanklin.
Who did Aston Villa play in the Europa League
Bologna.
Tonight? True or false, a Celtic UEFA Cup match was once delayed because of EastEnders?
False.
Which league are Cowdenbeath in?
Lowland.
Gordon Strachan started his managerial career at which club?
Gordon Strachan, Dundee?
Okay, how do you think that went, Michael?
I don't know, he probably beat me because I get one more question, but...
Tell me what, it was a high-scoring game.
Yeah,
it was a high scoring game.
Fair, the questions were easy.
So let's go through it. Who did Rangers play in their last European final?
I can't remember. Who was it?
Eintracht Frankfurt.
So much. I couldn't get that.
Michael got it as well. So it is 1-0.
To be fair, you recovered well.
One pass.
You recovered really well.
Which former Celtic player is in the Genk squad tonight? When you said, oh, I was so tempted to make a wee joke out of that as if he was stuttering at who, but it is oh. And Michael got that as well. So it is 2-1 to Michael. Who does St Mirren face in the League Cup semi-final? It is Motherwell. You both got it. 3-2 to Michael. Which Hearts player wears the number 9? You both said Lauren Shankland. You both got it right. 4-3 to Michael. Who did Aston Villa play in the Europa League tonight? Quite impressed that you both got it right. You both said Bologna. So it is 5-4. What a game this is so far. True or false, a Celtic UEFA Cup match was once delayed because of EastEnders. Okay. Michael said false. Gordon DL said false.
True.
The answer is false. However, it did happen to another game. Barcelona against Liverpool in 2001.
Who cares?
Was delayed because viewers wanted to find out who shot Phil Mitchell.
Oh.
You said who cares, and then you reacted really interested. Well,
I remember that. I was glued to my telly.
Mark Fowler.
Would you have rather that than Barcelona?
Yeah, because Phil and that.
What about your other channels?
Coronation Street, STV. Hold on, I need Gordon Strachan here on my beat. Because let me tell you, right, he never got that. He's not.
Well, there was one question before that.
He's not that intelligence level.
There was one question before that. You both got to what league are Cowdenbeath in? You said the Lowland League. Michael said League 2.
It's not League 2.
It's the Lowland League.
Oh, that's a league of
6-all.
Oh, come on, we
and Gordon DL got one more question in. Gordon Strachan started his managerial career at which club? Gordon DL, did he get a last-minute winner with Dundee?
No, I would say Coventry.
Well, Marvin Bartley would have got the point. Gordon DL didn't. It is Coventry. And it goes to a tiebreaker at 6-all.
Oh. He's never managed Dundee, is he?
No, he's just the
director of football.
Maybe that's how he didn't start his management career at Dundee, because he's not managed them. What was the score there?
6-6
That was
what
empty.
A game. A very good game. Right,
Michael, good game.
Question. So I will get Gordon Dale to write his down. Once he's written it down, Michael, you can give us your answer. The question is, what was Rangers' points tally when they went invincible in League One in the 2013-14 season? What was their points tally when they went invincible in League One in 2013-14? Gordon Dale has written his down.
Hurry up.
What do you say, Michael?
89.
You've gone 89. Gordon Dale has gone 86.
Oh, he's done me.
The answer... it's 102. Oh! Gordon Dale clawed it back just to score an own goal right at the end.
Oh, wow. That was low. You got to think.
Invincible season.
Man. Invincible season.
Ah, but they don't play 27 a lot of games in 27.
Round.
Oh, I don't know. I should have went 100 and just sat in the middle, shouldn't I?
Yeah,
what a game.
What a great
game. That was a good game. Michael, I'm assuming it's one of these coins you're after now, if you've got a signed ball.
Not a geezer ball again. No, I'm kidding. Not a geezer ball.
Good stuff. We'll get that sent out to you. Michael, you're a Celtic fan. How did you think last night's game went?
I thought it could I think it's an opportunity missed. I hope we don't look back on it as an opportunity missed sort of at the end of the campaign, but they feel like games like last night and Zagreb away last season, they're sort of there for the taking, and we're just kind of, we're happy to kind of see out a draw. And I just think if we want to progress and in Europe especially, I think we should, these are the games we should be taking 3 points in.
Yeah, the new league phase is quite forgiving, isn't it? We saw it, especially with the Champions League last season. I mean, PSG were way down in the standings sort of halfway through and then ended up getting through quite comfortably and winning the whole thing. So if you're drawing away games, it is actually all right. It is fine. But you can understand where Michael's coming from, that he wants Celtic to get points on the board early. They did have chances to score other goals last night.
Yeah, of course, as a Celtic fan, you want them to get, you know, 3 points on the board every single game that they play. But Red Star had opportunities as well. So, again, I think it was a really, really even game. I think when you take into account how hostile the atmosphere is, you know, you are playing against a really, really good team. I think a point, you know, come the end of this league phase will look like a really, really good point. But listen, I understand Michael's point 100%. He's a Celtic fan. He wants them to win every single game of football. But I think, you know, from a neutral, from the outside looking in, I think, you know, Celtic will be happy with that and then they move on to the next games.
Is that a good foundation to build from? That was what Brendan Rodgers was saying last night, a sort of solid starting point.
Yeah, I do agree. I think they had the opportunity to take all 3 points, but to be fair, you can look at the home side, they created a few chances as well. So, I think that at the beginning of the game, you're thinking, don't lose it. Get a point or get a valuable three. He's ended up with a point. I thought some of the performances were very good. I thought his back four were excellent. Obviously substitution at half time made a big impact, made a difference. Something to build from. Next game is at home, so we'll be looking to capitalise on that.
Kelechi Iheanacho came off the bench last night. Michael, would you expect to see him starting from now on just based on his contribution last night?
I don't know if obviously it was a big decision to take Dyson off at half time. So I don't know whether he's maybe sort of thinking going forward that Dyson's maybe going to be a bit part player and kind of cash in on him in January, just with the way things are. So good when he came on last night. So yeah, I'd probably play him going forward. Yeah.
Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers had to say about Kelechi Iheanacho. He said he can be a reference for the club after his goal last night.
There's absolutely no doubt. It's why when we were after someone and then he became available while he was the one I want to end, because I've spent over four years with him and I know his quality at the very highest level. And once he gets his match fitness, he'll be even more prominent for us. But wonderful touch, great finish, calm, but also, you know, he brought other players into the game. He was a real reference for us in the second half.
How important is that match fitness? Because there were at times where he certainly looked really sharp for the goal, that touch and turn all in one, and then, you know, getting the shot away quickly. He had some really sharp moments, but what's the difference between that and being fully match fit, and what can that do for him going forward?
It's the repeated movement, so it's getting those opportunities over the course of 90 minutes. You know, the quality that he does have, anything in and around the box, you know, whether he's not trained for 9 months and he's just going out there, he'll always have that finishing technique. It's getting him into those positions, you know, on numerous occasions during a match. So, yeah, listen, that's not him at his sharpest as well. Yes, he scores a fantastic goal. Yes, it's a really, really good touch. But, you know, he is better than that as well. Like Brendan Rodgers said, you know, he's played at the top level and he's managed him at the top level. So, yeah, when he gets a full match fitness, I think you'll see more out of him, maybe an extra like 10 or 15% out of him. And that's why they brought him to the football club. So, listen, Celtic fans definitely be excited. As long as I said, you know, he can avoid injury because he's had a bad luck with injuries across the course of his career.
I think the slight difference with fitness you're talking about is basically not fitness, sharpness. Mm-hmm. Because I think, I said it earlier, the one that goalkeeper comes out, I think if he's played 6-7 games in a row, he finishes that. He takes an extra touch for me. I think a sharp striker takes that first touch and then kills the goalkeeper before he even can get out to him. So, yeah, I think the Celtic fans are delighted by the signing. Brendan Rodgers knows him very well. And he's made such a big impact that people are now saying he's a definite starter rather than Maeda, who was brilliant last year for him.
Well, thank you to Michael. Let's speak to James, who's a Rangers fan in Drumchapel. James, what do you make of that starting lineup last night? Or, sorry, starting lineup for tonight, sorry.
Don't get any confidence in it. I think that boy that was starting the night, I don't know. I think it's a joke. I think Miosky also scored at the weekend, but his confidence would have been up. So I think that's rank straight away. But
there is a suggestion that Miosky is maybe not 100% fit. Don't know if that's true or not. But with the money that's been spent on Yusuf Tchermiti, should there be the confidence there from Russell Martin that he can go into a game like this and affect things straight away?
Nah, for me, no, because you've got to play the guys that are in form. Miosky scored at the weekend. He looked really good as well. So for me, you need to go with him. I used to look forward to Thursday night's European night's now with Rangers. Under Russell Martin, I don't know, guys. We're embarrassed in Europe with him. We get absolutely annihilated by him. And I'd also heard somebody say the other night, oh, we need to give him time and stuff like that. We gave Steven Gerrard time. Under Steven Gerrard, there was progress. We were only getting humiliated in Europe. We were beating Celtic home and away. But under Russell Martin, I just don't know what his style of play is. He goes on about all week. You don't see the players Monday to Friday. I'm not interested with what the guys are doing Monday to Friday. I want my team winning on match days. So that's what you're getting judged on. I just think some of his comments are absolutely crazy at times. You know, or the fans didn't back anyway. He sounded like a wee petulant 8-year-old boy at nursery that was getting into trouble for something.
Well, I think he's got a big job to turn around a lot of Rangers fans, and we touched on it earlier. The only way he can do that is win games. Important game tonight for him. Yes, I think everybody agrees. We don't all buy into his press conferences at times, but you can only back that up if you're winning football games, and that's first and foremost his job to go out and do that. He wasn't everybody's pick. He had to hit the ground running. He's not done that, especially domestically. He's going game to game just now with the fans. So it's up to him tonight. He's picked that team. I'd be very surprised that he's made that change up top if Miosky isn't carrying a slight knocker. He's a bit concerned about him going forward because he's not had a lot of football and they might just be managing him. So, and I do agree because as a striker, you score your first goal for Rangers, that's you basically the pressure off. You can't wait for the next game to come. Next game's at home. You're desperate to get out there and play. So there must be a slight niggle there that he doesn't want to take a risk.
Defensively, do Rangers look a bit more solid? I mean, it's a small sample size, but with Derek Cornelius in there, he's obviously got experience having played quite a lot at Marseille last season, but also being that left-footed option that Rangers just didn't have in the early parts of the season.
Yeah, their balance is a lot better. You know, like you said, having a natural left footer playing left-sided centre-half. We saw John Suter try and do it early on in the season, then he was flipped back to the right-hand side. So, yeah, I think, you know, the experience that he does have, the level he has played at, and just the calmness that he'll bring to that, you know, that back four as well. So he's definitely helped improve them. And I think it was a key signing for them during the transfer window because they looked shaky, really shaky at the back. They looked like they lacked a little bit of leadership back there as well. So for their sake, hopefully Cornelius can come in and add all those things to it. And then, you know, along the line, help them keep clean sheets as well.
Pleased that Nico Raskin's in there, James.
Aye. I'm happy that the man's back in the team because you see on Saturday what he brings to the team. He just seems to mop everything up for me. But I'm more worried about Sunday, and that's probably music to Big Mal's ears. I'm more worried about playing Livingston on Sunday, guys, because knowing us, we'll get a result tonight and get draft points on Sunday. And that's just, again, it's merely a chore going to see Rangers now than what it is. Looking forward to it, you know, looking forward to the day, there's a buzz. It just feels as if it's a chore now going to see us, and it's just going to be the lacklustre performances.
You wonder if that will have an effect on the stadium and the atmosphere, because if other supporters are like James, where they feel it is a chore going to the game, A, some might not turn up at all, and B, the ones that do turn up may not create that noise and that atmosphere at Ibrox that we've seen really help the team in previous Europa League campaigns.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the players as well, because if Rangers don't start well tonight, then you hear the rumblings coming from, obviously, the stands and the Rangers fans voicing their opinion. You've got to be a big character to play in front of that. And just now, I don't know if Rangers have got enough of them. There's new players there. They've never been in this environment before, the pressure that they're under. It'll be interesting. Marv said it earlier. It'll be interesting, the size of the crowd. I think there will be a good crowd. I think the Rangers fans do enjoy their Thursday nights. I know that Russell Martin, the last game against Bruges, wasn't too clever, but they enjoy their Thursday nights in the Europa League, and usually they're exciting nights, so I think they'll turn out for it and support their teams. And hopefully they can get a result. But just to put James' mind at ease, don't worry. Big Marv's no concerned about using Sunday anyway.
Well, thank you to James, 0141 951 1025, if you want to add any thoughts to that. Just looking at the Genk team, O does start tonight. He was subject to a bid of around £24 million in the summer, which I think took a lot of people by surprise, because he appears to have kicked on and has played well for Genk. But if you look at his goal record at Celtic and his goal record at Genk, it's pretty much identical. And the fact that he almost went to Stuttgart for £24 million, the move broke down. It'll be interesting to see how he performs at Ibrox tonight.
Yeah, clearly he's bringing something else to the game other than just scoring goals, whether he's bringing other people into play, whether they can get the ball up to him and people are playing off him, whatever else it might be. So, you know, we're hell-bent on stats, aren't we? You know, in football at this moment in time, and if someone's scoring goals or they're not scoring goals means that they're good or they're bad. And it shows that, you know, £24 million bid, I think he failed the medical, which is the reason it didn't go through. So be interesting to see him tonight. You know, Rangers defenders will definitely have their hands full with him. And it's one of those players they're going to have to deal with. But if they're going to go on to win the game, Rangers need to perform, you know, from back to front, need to be at their best and go out there and take the 3 points. Just in terms of the atmosphere as well, that's determined by how Rangers players play. You know, people like James are saying he's going there and it's more of a chore. Rangers start the game well to get an early goal. He'll be off his seat as well. You know, so it's up to the Rangers players. As Gordon said, there's a big, big pressure on them now to get these fans up, get them excited. That comes through hard work, you know, shots on target, making the first tackle, and then ultimately if you can put the ball in the back of the net.
I think any Rangers fans that watched Scotland against Greece earlier on this year will be quite happy at the fact that Konstantinos Karetsas is on the bench and not starting the game. Could still make an impact, but he was brilliant against Scotland, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they'll be delighted he's on the bench. I don't think they'll be delighted if they see his number come up and he's on the pitch, especially if he's early. Look, I think they'll have one or two decent players. I know their domestic form's not good, the same as Rangers. I think that'll be a good game there tonight. I think it'll be very, very tight indeed. But I do think the Rangers fans will turn out, Andrew. I really do. As I said, I think they enjoyed their Thursday nights in the Europa League. They might be a little bit worried about what they're going along to see, especially because they're not in favour of Russell Martin. So it might be a wee bit of patience for the Rangers fans early on.
Rangers fans, has that team made you any more or less confident heading into the game tonight? Yusuf Tchermiti starting up top. 01419511025. Let us know. Celtic fans, we're still looking for thoughts on that 1-1 draw with Red Star Belgrade last night, and we'll set up a teaser for these two next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What Uber is
here? Building up to kickoff between Rangers and Genk in the Europa League tonight. It is an 8 o'clock kickoff, so get your calls in before that. 01419511025. Celtic fans were still reflecting on that 1-0 draw between Celtic and Red Star Belgrade over in Serbia last night. We can hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers as well. So any thoughts on that game? 01419511025. Just before I set up a teaser, during that break, I was thinking about Slumdog Millionaire, because you watch the film and he wins the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because everything all the answers to the questions relate somehow to things that have happened in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, you would be brilliant at Beat the Pundit if you had any sort of memory, if you didn't have the memory of a goldfish, because you just revealed to us during the break that after you didn't get the question of who Gordon Strachan started his managerial career at, you literally went down to visit him at Coventry City
while he
was manager there.
When I was there, United manager, I sat in his office and Gordon kindly gave us a hamper of food because we were driving back up the road that night, and Gordon kindly got us sorted with some food. So yeah, Coventry City, my final answer, lock in.
Right, let's hear a bit from Russell Martin, shall we, ahead of this game tonight. He says they're ready to attack the Europa League.
Yeah, I think what excites me is the potential in this group. Now that we have the group settled down and the window shut, we have a group we're really happy with, the potential in the team, the potential to have some amazing moments at this club and nights that you can't replicate anywhere else, and also the potential to win trophies. And when we're in any competition, we'll be, and we'll try and do our very best to win that. So I think, I'm not saying we're going to win this competition, but we're in it, we're going to attack it, and we've got to try and enjoy as much as we can. It's an exciting group, it's difficult, it's some big games, some tough opposition, but you wouldn't expect anything else. But we're looking forward to it, and I think the guys that have been here and experienced some good moments in European football, they felt it already, so I think they can definitely help the other players recognise what's at stake and what can be achieved.
The fact that Rangers have had sort of relative success in the Europa League over the last few years, does that maybe put even more pressure on Russell Martin going into these Europa League games? Because the fans have really good memories from this competition, so there maybe is that expectation that despite the domestic form not being good at all, that Rangers may be able to go into a game like this and the form will just magically turn around like it has done in the past.
I think he'll be hoping that, but I don't think he could be under any more pressure if he tried. You know, it's one of those things. No matter what competition the wins come in, he needs to get them. So it just so happens that next one's a Europa League game. Like I said, it would probably draw on the experiences of the players who have been there, who people like James Tavernier got to the final. What's been at the football club, you know, the Thursday nights and the times the stadium or the stand was rocking as well. So probably played a video to the new boys, you know, this is what it's like if you get this place rocking and we get the supporters behind us, this is what it can be like. So, yeah, listen, he's not going to be under any more pressure because I don't think that's possible, but he will be hoping, can they start this with 3 points and then they can move on? That's exactly what he wants to do. As he said there, they will attack every single competition that they are in. They'll give it their best shot. He spoke again about the transfer window being closed and everything settled down a little bit, but now it's time to start doing it on the pitch. That's the most important for Russell Martin and his team.
Before we speak to Brian, let me set up this teaser. Thanks to Alan in Rutherglen for this one. Should be a nice and simple one for you two, I think. Can you name the eight Rangers goal scorers in last season? No, not at all. Can you name the eight Rangers goal scorers in last season's Europa League?
Dessers.
Cyril Dessers is correct.
Tavernier.
James Tavernier. No.
Oh, what are you all about? Is Danilo one?
Danilo is not one. We will come back to that and I'll let you have a think. Brian is a Rangers fan in Hurlford. Brian, happy with the team tonight, or would there be things you'd change in there?
I would have changed it because Mikey Moore has brought nothing to the team. He's only 18 year old. There's more experienced players there that would be better suited. But I just don't think he brings enough there. I don't know if there's something in his contract that he's got to play so many games, but he brings nothing, in my point. I'd have played Vajoski and Chermiti up front together. The 4-4-2, I would have went.
Yeah, Mikey Moore has maybe had a tough couple of games, started the last couple, and they've maybe been tough in different ways. I think against Hearts, he looked to be quite progressive and direct and run at players and was losing the ball quite a lot. I don't know whether that, you know, psychologically maybe got to him or whether his instructions were different against Hibs. He maybe looked to sort of come inside more and keep possession. He is still young, but Brian, not really impressed by what he's seen so far.
Listen, I know what Brian's saying. I thought he would have made a change tonight and I thought it would have been Moore on the flank, Antman coming back in. But he's stuck with a young lad. Look, he's finding his feet. It's okay coming up with a big reputation from the Premier League, but we've seen many players coming up here and just not, you know, setting the heather on fire, struggling a little bit, maybe the club, maybe the pace of football, everything. He's young. There's a lot of pressure at Rangers just now, as we know. You know, he's probably never experienced going into the stadium, their protests and the atmosphere inside the stadium against the manager. So there's a lot he's got to take on board. Another big night for him. And the only way you can, you know, start saying to the Rangers fans, yep, I deserve my place, is by performing. He's got the ability. Let's not be kidded here. He's got the ability. He's just taking a little bit of time to find it.
He's really highly rated by Tottenham. Saw quotes from Ange Postecoglou last season, absolutely raving about him. Played in the Europa League for Tottenham last season, certainly in the league phase. I don't think really played too much beyond that. Is it a show of faith from Russell Martin tonight and his ability and what he thinks of him that he's still in the team?
Yeah, listen, he's got ability, there's no doubt about it. You know, Rangers fans haven't seen the best of that to date, but, you know, he's still, you know, relatively early in his tenure at the football club. So, yeah, Russell Martin will know exactly what he's about, and that's the reason he's brought him to the football club. I agree with Gordon, you know, he played totally differently in the Hearts to Hibs game, and that's to do with confidence. You know, wide players are definitely confidence players, and if you lose it one too many times, then all of a sudden you start to hear groans from the supporters, because there's a pressure and an expectancy when you play for Rangers. And I always speak about this, when players come from down in England, and I was exactly the same, and you come up here, you don't realise how big these football clubs are, you don't realise what is expected from those Rangers and Celtic players week in, week out, and he's in the midst of that. Adding to that, the protests against the manager, the team's not winning domestic games of football. So everything's being looked at, you know, and everything's going through with a fine tooth comb. So listen, the young boy will definitely have a good future at Rangers or a good career at Rangers during this season, because he does have ability. He just needs to get himself going.
Brian, you said you would have wanted to see Miovski and Chimiti start up top together. Chimiti does start up front by himself. Are you looking forward to seeing what he can do from the start?
Well, I like to think if you spend £8 million a player, there's bound to be somebody in there. But as I say, I'd have went with the two up front. Just, I don't think a lot of fans are wanting to see the 4-4-2 and see that. We've played with one striker. All these teams play with one striker. You expect your line men to get the ball in the box. But I'd have played with the two just to. I mean, he's under pressure. So if the fans see him changing, probably better. The fans will get behind him a wee bit better.
Is a problem with trying to play 4-4-2 in Europe, Marvin, is potentially getting overrun in midfield?
Yeah, 4-4-2 is a really, really difficult formation, especially when you talk about what Russell Martin wants his teams to do in terms of the build-up and everything else. Only having two centre midfielders, like you said, you do get overrun. The opposition will just lock onto those two, and then your options are really, really limited. So, yeah, I can't imagine him going 4-4-2. I know we saw at Southampton when they got back to the Premiership, he went for 3-5-2, which allows you to have two strikers, but... Yeah, I can't really see him playing 4-4-2. I don't imagine him ever playing that.
I think if you've got to play two strikers in a modern-day game, I think you've got to go 3-5-2. Mm-hmm. It gives you the extra people in the middle of the park. Your two wing-backs then can drop back into a five, make it compact if you're wanting the two strikers up. I think if you go 4-4-2 and you've got two wingers, the two midfield players will go overrun in there, especially in Europe against decent teams.
What do you think the atmosphere will be like tonight, Brian?
Well, it'll be pretty good, because we need to win games and we need to start winning in Europe, because as I said, Europa League is Rangers and Celtic's bread and butter. Champions League, you'll get a wee bit of silver side beat, but no, as I said, I hope it's good for the fans. Why are you all after him?
Wait, it's silver side. I mean, Big Mar's sitting here starving a wee bit gravy.
Yeah. Bring that along to us, mate.
Oh, nice.
Marvin mentioned it earlier on, just about, you know, the fans getting behind the team, but the team need to spark that, don't they? That needs to come from the team, Gordon, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. It's okay turning around and saying, look, come and support us and be the 12th man and give us that atmosphere. You've got a duty as a player. You've got to get the fans off the seat. You've got to give them something to be shouting about and excited about. And that's why Rangers, I think, tonight at the start will be so important. They need to be in the front foot, Andrew. They need to get at this team. They need to start getting the ball into wide areas, get balls in the box, create chances. And if you do that, the fans come with you. It's amazing. If they see that from the stands, they decide, right, okay, we're up for it. Let's support them. The supporters are up for it. The players are up for it. Everything goes hand in hand. Everything can't be left to the supporters. The players have got a big responsibility.
Well, thank you to Brian. He was in Hurlford, by the way, which isn't too far from Kilmarnock. I wonder if he was in that pub that you got hounded out of the other day because you're a former Ayr United manager.
It was ridiculous, the criticism.
What were they shouting?
Oh, you're looking good. I don't think that was to me. I think it was to the person beside me. But listen, it was good banter, and I thank everybody down there.
Be back soon.
Hope you get relegated.
Let's speak to George, who's a Rangers fan in Kirkintilloch. George, how are you feeling heading into tonight's game?
I'm trying to keep an open mind. I mean, when I saw the team selection, I got to admit I was a bit disappointed with a few things. Now, a few callers have kind of highlighted the points already. The fact that, and you've mentioned this already, I think in two calls ago, you spoke about Mikey Moore being given more of a chance at the expense of Curtis. There's a lot of fans are scratching their head about. I know that you had mentioned that he needs time to settle, and he's recognising the importance of the pressure that Rangers have faced, particularly domestically. But again, like some other fans have said, Russell Martin has got to start playing players that are on form. And the likes of Curtis, who doesn't come from Tottenham, right, but knows where the back of the net is, knows how to get forward, knows how to supply a service to Majowski, you know, he should be miles ahead of Mikey Moore in the team selection. So what if he's from Tottenham and he comes to a high profile? You have to put players that are on form, you know. Majowski, we know what he can do from his time in Aberdeen. Again, why not play? I don't know if Cameron's injured or not.
Yeah, he's injured. To be back in training next week.
Right, okay. Because, you know, he would be another one that I would, you know, want him to play from the off if he was fully fit. But, yeah, it's this Curtis versus Mikey Moore thing that kind of leaves me a bit baffled.
When's the last time Finlay Curtis started, George?
Sorry?
When's the last time Finlay Curtis started a game?
Well, again, this is you know, you've highlighted my point. Mikey Moore has been ahead of Finlay Curtis, even when Finlay Curtis has been fit. But who's been scoring the goals between them?
22nd of July, at home to Panathinaikos, was the last game.
He scored, didn't he?
Scored in that game, scored in the friendly against Middlesbrough after that, got a goal away to St Mirren as well, but hasn't really seen too much time off the bench, played that half away to Bruges when the game was already gone.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Listen, I'm not, no doubt in, you know, Finlay Curtis' ability and potential that he does have. I think it'd be really, really difficult to throw him into tonight's game, you know, basically from the cold. Last time he started was 22nd of July. So, yeah, listen, I get your point in terms of you think Mikey Moore's been given more opportunities than Finlay Curtis has, and that's a valid one. But I just think it'd be really, really difficult, George, to throw him in tonight, you know, out of nowhere to go, right, go and start such an important game that will be at a really, really fast tempo as well.
Some fans might not like to hear it, but maybe Russell Martin just thinks Mikey Moore is better than Finlay Curtis. That's probably what it is, just given the fact that he's starting more games and getting more game time.
He sees him in
fans
training.
Don't have to agree with that.
I like young Curtis. I think he's one for the future. That game you're talking about when he scored Panathinaikos, I thought the first half he was very, very poor, very, very quiet, gets his goal. Look, I think he's a good impact player just now. I think his turn will definitely come. You don't know what's the situation between Tottenham and obviously Rangers, with the fact that they've given them up Moore. They rate them so highly at Tottenham. So you just wonder if something's in the contract to affect that. But I'm sure Curtis's chance will come during the season because it will be a long, long season.
That would make sense, wouldn't it, from Tottenham's point of view, though? Because, you know, if Mikey Moore's going to come and sit at the bench for Rangers, you might as well leave him at Tottenham sitting on the bench. So, you know, that does happen with lone players, you know, if they come from a certain level that they need to play a certain amount of minutes, because
that could be a frustrating one for fans, though. And it's kind of hard to explain to fans if a player isn't playing well across a season but has to play X amount of games or a percentage of minutes across a season.
But it works both ways. What happens if he comes and he's absolutely dynamite? He's brilliant. fans aren't even going to consider that. They're not going to worry about that. It's only once again, if things are going wrong, that's where everything gets highlighted.
Well, thank you to George. Let's do a bit of work on this teaser. Can you name the eight Rangers goal scorers in last season's Europa League?
Diamandi.
Mohamed Diamandi, correct.
Igerman.
Hamza Igerman, correct.
Raskin.
Nico Raskin is correct. We will get more answers and go back to Ibrox next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long to go until kickoff at Ibrox between Rangers and Genk. The big team news is Youssef Chermiti starts up front. He is the one change from that win over Hibs at the weekend. So Rangers fans, what do you make of that? You can have the final say. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that wants to look back on that 1-0 draw with Red Star Belgrade. Did you enjoy the performances of the likes of Kelechi Iheanacho and Kobe Donovan? 0141 951 1025. Let's get a couple more answers on this teaser. Can you name the eight Rangers goal scorers in last season's Europa League, like Hamza Igerman, Cyril Dessers, Mohamed Diamandi and Nico Raskin?
I can remember one, the winger cuts in.
Okay, well, there you go.
McCausland, left foot.
Correct. So you've got Cherney and McCausland. Two more to get. We'll get those later on. Was interested to see just on the TV there when Russell Martin arrived at the stadium. A couple of fans waiting outside to get selfies with him.
He's got supporters, isn't he? There's a lot of fans round about him wanting a wee picture taken. So he's winning one or two over and no demonstrations in the background. Big night for him tonight. If he can win tonight, and then obviously he's got a game on Sunday, gimme. a real gimme after hearing his tactics. So, look, it's a big few days, but he's going game to game, but he has to get through tonight's hurdle.
We'll go back to Ibrox shortly to get the final bit of build up before the 8 o'clock kickoff, but let's speak to Ricky, who is a Celtic fan in Easterhouse. Ricky, how do you reflect on last night's game?
I can't newspapers and all the other kind of people out there were saying, oh, we're not in great shapes for these games. I thought we played really well. I thought our defence was good. But I tell you what my main thing was, Iheanacho, we trying to sign them in January. Obviously, with Kyogo gone. Brendan Rodgers is saying, he's probably saying to himself, he's a better fit to put in there. If I go to him in January, I think things are going to be a lot different. And I think he is in there because I think either doesn't lead the line. This boy does. This boy has got great ability, I think. He's only 28. I think this guy, I don't know how long he's there for. I think he'd be does well the rest of the season. I think we'll give him an extended contract, and I think we should if he does well.
Well, it's up to the player. It's up to the club as well. Look, he's got off to a great start. Gets his penalty to Kamarnock, comes on last night. I think everybody was impressed with him. Celtic looked a better team with him through the middle. He's still a little bit to find his sharpness. That'll come through game time. But as far as, you know, setting off in your Celtic career, he's certainly doing very well, and the Celtic fans have certainly taken to him because he does look the real deal, to be honest with you.
It was interesting the way he came in as well, because certainly from the outside looking in, it looked as if Celtic were scrambling about to find an option after selling Adam Ida. Kelechi Iheanacho comes in after the transfer deadline's done because his contract was terminated at Sevilla. But Brendan Rodgers speaking about him last night, saying that, you know, he absolutely, you know, did want him. He was a top option he wanted. He knows him very well. The fact that he knows him well, worked with him for 4 years, how big a help can that be as well?
It's a massive help, because you know what works for him in terms of man management, and what doesn't work for him. You know what you can get out of him and what you won't get out of him. You know his limitations as well. So yeah, it's a massive, massive help. Also, the player feels more comfortable, you know, coming to a new club where they already know the manager. And like you said, his contract was terminated, which allowed him to come here. I think he went to Middlesbrough the back end of last season on loan, and when Celtic tried to sign him the first time. But I also think for the player, signing for a club of this size, and listen, he would have heard of Celtic, he would have known about it. But now he's came there, and he's put on the shirt, and he plays for the club, and he realises the support that they do have. I think it will get him going again in his career. You know, sometimes these things happen at perfect times where he is like 28 and started really well at Man City, had the Leicester, then his career kind of, you know, pitted out for a little bit. And now he's back at Celtic, at a huge club, where there's an uplift from him. And he probably wants to show the fans, actually, I am the main man here. I can do this. So like we said, you know, it's really, really early days for him, but he started extremely well. And like you said, if he can stay fit, then he, you know, they've got a player on their hands.
Ricky, do you think it'll be sort of horses for courses when it comes to who plays up front for Celtic going forward, or do you think that shirt is now Kelechi Iheanacho's?
I think it's Iheanacho's. See, when you take my header off at half time, I think you've made a statement there when you take my header off at half time. I think he'll be away in January.
Brendan deserves massive credit for that as well. You know, all too often on this show, managers are, you know, have said they're not doing this right and not doing that right. That was a huge call to make, by the way. A massive, massive call, regardless of, you know, the form Maeda had been in. He decided to start him in the actual, obviously, you know, they're trying to break him in slowly but surely. To make that call at half time and make that substitution, and to what happened in the second half, the manager deserves huge credit for doing that.
Well, thank you to Ricky. Let's go back to Ibrox.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with the Clubhouse Princes Square, taproom and home of live sport in Glasgow.
How are things looking ahead of kickoff, Tom?
Yes, I don't want to put the hex on Russell Martin in any way, because, I mean, he doesn't have his troubles to seek, but I was here for the show for Rangers United at the end of last season. It was Barry Ferguson's last home game in charge, and there was an air of fond farewell to Barry and others in the dugout that night. You don't sense that feeling of affection here tonight. Usually, on a big European night...
I'll tell you what, we'll try and go back to Tom and see if we can clear that line up.
That line reminds me of when I call my family in Jamaica.
Yeah. It's a difficult job talking and reading out the Rangers subs at the same time.
We just woke Tom up out of his bed. He was asleep in his chair. Like, what? What's going on? Why are you calling me?
I think there were connection issues there. I think it was a bit of a delay. We will try and go back to Tom if we can ahead of...
Tell him to text us.
Just text us. Tell us how many folk are in the stadium.
I think that's the big thing. We're all wondering, you know, how's the stadium looking just now? What have we got? 7 minutes to kick off.
Seeing the pictures, though, it looked relatively full, you know, what we're just seeing there.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a big crowd tonight. I really wouldn't.
You do think as well, for the people that maybe have decided they don't want to go to the Europa League matches, there always will be people on a waiting list, or just people that maybe don't get the chance to go to the big European nights, that will step in and think, well, this is an opportunity for me to go and support the team on a European night. So, you know, there may be the protests or the boycotts or people that don't want to go, but with teams like Celtic and Rangers, there's always going to be people waiting in line to take those seats up a lot of the time, aren't they?
Yeah, they have huge support, don't they? And it's an opportunity that some fans might not get if there wasn't this sort of protest or people didn't want to go to the game or whatever else. So like you said, there's always somebody else there that were willing to take the seat. And that's what Rangers, you know, players were hoping for today, that they want to play in front of a packed stadium. They want to relive what happened on their route to the final before. So, yeah, listen, I think it will be a good crowd. I hope for the players it's a good crowd, and I hope as a spectacle, you know, they create a real hostile atmosphere.
Tough to judge Genk, because they finished above Club Bruges, who battered Rangers in the Champions League playoff. They finished above them last season, won the Belgian top flight, but they're having similar domestic troubles to Rangers this season. They're 14th out of 16.
Yeah, they're well down the bottom of the Belgium League. But they've obviously got quality. They've got good players in that team. It'll be interesting to see how they adapt tonight against Rangers. But for me, it's all about what Rangers do. They need to come out in the front foot for me, Andrew.
Well, interesting to see Andrew Kavanagh making his way into the director's box as well, shaking the hands of some Rangers supporters that are sitting alongside there. He'll be a very interested spectator to see how things go tonight. That'll be the type of atmosphere I'm sure he'll enjoy watching if things go well. If not, then I'm sure more questions will be asked, and you can ask them tomorrow night from 6.
Too late, the music just went on.
No, it's alright, we've got time. Two more players, Rangers goal scorers in the Europa League last season. Go.
I've got them. Tom Lawrence.
Yeah.
Suter.
And I've seen it on the TV there. Barami.
Oh, I love it. Do you see both of them on the TV?
Yeah.
That's so annoying. But just the easiest thing ever, because they were just all popping up on the screen.
Oh, that's why we wanted it to be finished.
Anyway, thank you to Gordon DL. Thank you to Marvin Bartley. Remember, from 6 o'clock tomorrow, you can react to Rangers against Genk, which kicks off in 5 minutes' time.